We'll discuss tonight a couple of topics that we've touched on in the past, but we'll just approach from a different angle. Ani Mahapech, to some extent, Yarilom this also, these various prohibitions that prevent someone, a Jew, from infringing on a deal or job, an opportunity, already in the possession of, or already that's already the right of another Jew. Two related questions. A, how do we deal with this when enforcing such a restriction would be against the interest of the seller, of the person who both people are fighting about? Often the seller, it could be the buyer also. Do we insist on ani mahapech even where it will be against the best interest of the seller? And B, how do we deal with ani mahapech if it's not me who's approaching a seller who already agreed to sell to the first buyer? What if the seller is not satisfied with his buyer and he comes over to me and says, maybe we should do a deal. What terms will you give me? So this whole discussion starts from the Mordechai. We saw in the Ramah this week, Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch brings that ani mahapech does not apply until a pisuk damim or some other stage close to that has been reached. Until they have an agreement, we do not apply the rule of ani mahapech. And the Mordechai says the reason is because were that not to be the case, it would be unfair to the seller. If we were to say that even before any deal has been reached, as soon as one offer has been made, the seller, no other offers can be made, that would injure the seller because somebody comes in with a lowball offer, nobody else can make any other offers, and that's it. The Mordechai therefore proves from this that ani mahapech cannot apply until a deal has been reached because in order to protect the interest of the seller. Now, the Marshag has a long, interesting discussion of this point, and his correspondent had suggested, what's the problem, he said? What was the Mordechai's problem that if we don't have a rule of pisuk damim, the seller will be taken advantage of? But if we assume, as many and most poskim do, that the seller always has the right to walk away and say, I'm looking for a better offer, what's the problem? It's true that as long as the seller is not looking for another offer, nobody will make him another offer. But if the seller doesn't like his first offer, he'll just say, okay, not interested, I'm soliciting more offers. If the seller has the right to do that, and that takes away ani mahapech, then what's the problem? How will he be taken advantage of? So the Marshag's correspondent actually wanted to prove from this that even if the seller is not satisfied, as long as ani mahapech applies, the buyer is still not allowed to make him an offer. Most poskim disagree. Most poskim say that as long as the seller is not happy with the first offer, even after a pisuk damim, if he changes his mind, if he decides he still wants to look for more offers, ani mahapech will not apply. This happens very often. As I mentioned, most common ani mahapech situations I've dealt with have been real estate transactions where someone's selling a house, buyer puts in a bid, his bid is accepted, another buyer comes along, wants to put in a bid. One of the questions is always metzia, is this a very low price, is this an unusual house, is this something unique about the house? Another issue that commonly comes up is, was there a pisuk damim? Was the bid actually accepted? And even if it was, another issue always is, was the seller, even after he accepted the bid, still looking for another bid? That may not be ethical, but sometimes that's what happens, depending on what level of acceptance there was. Certainly in the earlier levels, like this Prisha says, they just had negotiations that were positive, but sometimes the seller is still out there looking for more offers. Even while he's moving along with the first buyer, he's still sending feelers out. He's still keeping it listed. He's still putting out advertisements. So if the seller is still looking and he hasn't made up his mind, and certainly if he directly approaches another buyer, that, according to most poskim, is a heter. So that actually is another protection for the seller's rights that we discussed all the way at the beginning. We discussed in principle in Lamdas the question of is ani mahapech and iser only on the buyer or even on the seller. But even if it's to some extent on the seller, most poskim still agree the seller does have the right to say, I'm not satisfied with the current offer, I want to go look for another offer, and he has the right to do that. And therefore, once he does that, once he goes out and says, I'm still looking for more offers, there's nothing wrong with the buyer approaching him, according to most poskim, and saying, okay, you want another offer? Here's another offer.
He accepted the offer of the one buyer. Now another buyer is coming in. Isn't that like a lifna either? Because you're making him a mechusar aminim to do that?
That's a good question. So indeed, some of the poskim, the Marshak himself, point this out, that in many circumstances, for the seller to renege on the commitment he made to the first buyer will be a violation of mechusar aminim. Mechusar aminim is a Talmudic rule that even without a kinyan, even when there's no kinyan, no mishapara, just a commitment, in many cases you are over an iser. The Gemara just says, Ein Rucham Nochem, Ein Chazal not happy with you if you don't keep your word. According to many poskim, it's actually an iser. According to some poskim, we can call you a Rasha even, just like Ani Mahapech, for not keeping your word. That is a question, and just like we saw in Ramosha's Tshuva about the Shidduch, aside from running a mahapech, if someone is committed, in that case it was a cheirim involved, if you induce somebody to break a cheirim, you're doing an aver of, as Dr. Mann said, of lifnei iver, you're inducing somebody to commit an iser. So that is an important question, that if it is wrong for the seller to back out, even putting aside the entire sugya of mahapech, you should not be inducing him to break his commitment. So there are a couple of things we have to say about that. First, mechusar amana, because it's not an actual kinyan, there are some important loopholes. Most significantly, there are many poskim who say that you're only supposed to keep your word as long as circumstances remain the same. If circumstances change, for example, the price goes up, or according to some poskim, if you get a new offer that wasn't on the table before, you're not bound to your first commitment. Some poskim disagree. This is a hotly contested issue, but there are poskim who say that even if you gave your word, as long as there was no kinyan, if a better offer that was not available before comes along, you're allowed to switch. That would be one reason why you'd be allowed to make a better offer. If you don't say that, if you say that you're not allowed to switch at all, then yes, that would actually be a serious issue. What happened to inducement to break mechusar amana? That would be a problem, yes.
This is all when there's no full disclosure that he's going to keep looking even after accepting
Right. If the seller told the buyer, I'm accepting your offer, but until we close or until we sign, I'm still going to be looking for more, that's no question. That's much of the. It's only if you give an unconditional commitment. Some poskim say that even cases where you don't mention such a disclosure, in certain situations it's implicit, everyone knows you're still looking, but certainly if you make it explicit, there's nothing wrong. Yes.
Okay.
So once you have a piece of davim, though, then and the seller is not looking, then that's the classic case of ani mahapech. You're not supposed to be making another offer. And it's explicit in the Shulchan Aruch, it's explicit in the poskim, that this is even if your offer is going to come in higher than the first offer. Once the seller has accepted at some price, accepted a bid for $100,000, even if you're going to offer $115,000, you can't do that. Lashon the Shulchan Aruch is Lomar Yel Shekvar Pasku Adamim Benem in Mukhtar Nela Kenyan, but once they are, once they have a piece of damim, mavur from all the poskim, even if you want to offer more, as long as he's not soliciting a bid for more, that's awesome. So why? Isn't that injurious to the mocher's interest to forbid you to give him a higher offer? The poskim say, yeah, in some sense it is. But clearly, clearly the halacha is that you're not allowed to, and the reason is because once the seller has decided to accept the first offer and he's satisfied with it, we're no longer concerned with the fact that he could do a little better if you made him a better offer. Now, the biggest lenient, most important lenient view in this area is the Erech Shai, Shlomo Yehuda Tabak. In at least three places, he argues that even after we have a piece of damim or more or less an agreement, the buyer is allowed to submit, the rival is allowed to submit another offer if it is in the interests of the seller. In one place, in his Erech Shai, he talks about a case of a communal shochet who had a steady job with the community. Someone came along and offered the city a cash payment to accept him as the shochet. He brings earlier poskim who debate whether that's ani mahapech or not. And he says that it's not, because since this is a benefit for the city, you're giving them extra cash, we never say ani mahapech when there is benefit to the seller, to the employer in this case. Two other places. One place he talks about in one of his tshuvas, in his churashai, he talks about a case where somebody wanted to sell 10 barrels of wine. He really wanted to sell all 10. He finally accepted an offer for 4. Someone came along and wanted all 10. That was a much more attractive offer for him because he can get rid of all 10 in one fell swoop. He wanted to go with that guy. When that guy realized someone else had already offered 4, he hadn't realized. He said, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. Ani mahapech. He's already here. Erech Shai says, no. Since 10 is a better deal for him, there's no ani mahapech. He has another argument also that wine is always considered something you want to move as quickly as possible because it can always spoil. So again, for various reasons, it's better for the seller. We suspend any application of ani mahapech when it would be in the seller's interest to allow further bids. Third tshuva he has, this was a case that was discussed by many poskim. He brings earlier poskim. There was a question of a shochet of bodek. There was a case where small town couldn't really employ a full-time shochet bodek. They had to use the neighboring city's shochet. Inconvenient, he wasn't always around. They were much better to have their own. Currently all they could do was to use the big city shochet. Came a certain point, they wanted to hire their own. and they felt they could manage it now. They had more meat. They had more meat was going on. They had a business that was producing meat for the goyim also. So now they could afford their own. The Shachar Bodeh currently complained, Ani Ma'apek, this has been my job. I was getting all the business from your city. Shurashai says again, no such thing. Since this is clearly for the benefit of the city to have their own Shachar Bodeh, much more convenient. Price would have been the same, but much more convenient, much more suitable. We never say Ani Ma'apek when it is for the best interests of the seller.
That totally undermines Ani Ma'apek.
Yes,
totally,
exactly.
Because the second buyer will always offer more.
Exactly. And that indeed was the objection to the Erech Shai raised by other Achronim, particularly the Machzeh Avram, the brother of Marshag, the Semihauer of. Both of them made the same, exactly that point. They say that the Erech Shai has to agree, it's explicit in all the early poskim, that once it's a piece of Davin, even if you offer more, it's Aser. And we don't care about the seller's benefit. Clearly, because as we said before, once he's accepted a given bid, he showed that he's okay with that. And it's no longer okay to say, I'll make a better bid, I'll give him more. And as Dr. Mann said, if you would say that, you would eviscerate the entire Ani Ma'apek, because it's always easy to make a better bid. And clearly the postman didn't hold like that. So they both completely reject the Erech Shai. They say there's no such thing. Once he accepted the first bid, the fact that your second bid would be to the benefit of the seller makes no difference. He had the choice to hold out for, he had the option to hold out for other bids, chose not to. We no longer care about the fact that the second bid might be in his interest.
Now,
an interesting question. The Erech Shai, I think, doesn't mention that specifically, that he's being more lenient for Tzarek Rabin, but interesting question, maybe. In the other direction, though, one thing the poskim say, in this area, or in general, they say, is that a Rabin is held to a higher standard. Even in cases where a Yachid has the right to do certain things, a Rabin is held to a higher standard than the Shur Sadin. The poskim say, just like a Talmud Chacham or an Adam Chashev is supposed to be noted from the Shur Sadin, a Rabbim is also, and therefore some of the poskim in these Shachar Bodeh cases say, even if Mikra Din you're allowed to, like the Machzeh Avraham has other reasons to be lenient, he says, but nevertheless, he's a Shachit should be a Yorei Shemayim, he should be Noy L'Fim Meshur Din, as we discussed earlier. Many of these cases, even with a Mutter, we say there's Midas Chassidus not to engage in certain kinds of practices. Some poskim say the Tzibur should be held to a high standard, so maybe Tzarek Rabbim is a Heter, but in general the poskim are pretty Machmer over here. Now, the Marshag and the Machzeh Avraham were both discussing cases similar to the Erech Shai of Shachar Bodeh. Marshag, anyway, is inclined to be lenient for the other reason. In his case, he says, the Kehillah itself was looking for another Shachit, and that was the case in the Erech Shai too. So even if you don't accept this thing, that a better offer is always mutter because it's to the benefit of the seller, but if the seller is looking, if the employer is looking for another Shachit, in those cases they were initiating, they wanted another Shachit, they saw the opportunity, so the Marshag, again, is Mekel. Not for the reason of Erech Shai, but for this other reason. Now, he himself does say that they're still doing what he calls a ksas avla. It's not completely right to do what they're doing. One of the arguments he makes is, Rashi brings it. It says, when Avram returned from Mitzrayim, he passed by the same waypoints on his way back to Eretz Yisrael. And Chazal say, Mikan, a person should not arbitrarily take away his custom from one establishment and give it to another unless he has a good reason to. A person, it's a kind of faithfulness. Someone satisfied your needs before, you should give him the business again unless you have a reason not to. So the Marshag says, even if all these halachas, the real halachas, don't apply, if you don't have a good reason to, you really shouldn't switch. In the Marshag's case, it wasn't a case where they didn't have their own shochet and that they were relying on another city, now they had their own. His case, they had a shochet of their own. They just wanted to switch. They found somebody else, they're giving them a better deal, they liked somebody better. He says, you have no real reason to. The fact that it'll save you a few dollars, he says, if you're basically satisfied with your old shachet, you really shouldn't switch. In the case of the Marshag and the Erech Shai, there was a significant benefit to the city. It wasn't just saving a few dollars. It was vastly more convenient to have their own shachet. So there, again, if the city itself is looking, that's another heter, because they themselves have the right to look out for the best deal. Nevertheless, the Machzeh Avraham said, L'fim Meshur Sadin, the shachet really should be more of a Yorei Shemayim and not take business away from somebody, even if Mikra Din, he's allowed to. This is also discussed at length in the Chikri Lev. The Chikri Lev takes for granted that paying extra after a piece of dung is not a heter. As we saw, the early poskim will say that, otherwise, as Dr. Mann said, otherwise no Ani Ma'apech. But they did have a major debate about another kind of deal, which was better. They were also talking about the Altazam, the tax concession from the government. Somebody argued that there was no Ani Ma'apech because the deal of the second guy was a much better deal. He was buying a much larger quantity, larger something. And that's something which is considered better for the seller. And the Poskim went back and forth on this. They had a long, vigorous discussion as to whether an offer which is better for the seller has ani mahapik or not. Some Poskim said it does, even though it's better for the seller. Once he's considered a mahapik, even a better offer is still aser. Other Poskim said no. Anything that's better for the seller, we don't say ani mahapik. The last source I'm going to mention on this topic is another one we saw this week, gave out this week, is the case of Rabbi Grossman. The case there was an elderly landlady was renting out part of her apartment, her whole apartment, part of her apartment. She initially accepted an offer from a family with 10 children. Subsequently, she got an offer from a young married couple, soon to be married couple. That was a much more attractive offer. The noise, wear and tear on the house, whatever it was a vastly more attractive offer. The question was, is that ani mahapik or not? On the one hand, she already accepted the offer. She had settled on a price. All the terms were settled with the first tenant. Certainly a piece of gumim. She was already satisfied with their deal. On the other hand, she got another one, which was much more attractive. So for some reason, that discussion does not discuss what you mentioned, does not discuss the question of breaking her word of Mechus Ramana, which Lachara might have been, unless you're samech on the idea that when you get a new offer, you're allowed to switch. What they do discuss is ani mahapik. Rav Zalman Reuven Bengis held that it was ani mahapich, although it was a question of metzia, he said, because the apartments were hard to get. And although Yeshiva Bachar Shemi Machmer, again, with the Meshur Zadin, like Rashi, Rabbi Grossman said, no, any offer which is better for the seller, there is no ani mahapich, which is basically the position of the Erech Shai. Now, in the story, they say the Chazon Ish and Reuven Bengis both said that you need, even though it's a nice svar, you need a source for it. As we've seen, this is not a new discussion. This was a major discussion of the Hungarian Poskim. Erech Shai strongly was inclined to be lenient. Machzeh Avram, the Marshag were more machmer. And it even goes back to the Chikrei Lev, a century before that among the Sfardim. The Chikrei Lev himself records a debate as to whether an offer which is better for the seller, is that a reason to suspend ani mahapech, or does it still apply even where the seller would suffer by us not allowing a better offer to go through?